This morning, I want to encourage us, don't ever let go. You know, as we're climbing, if you will, the stairway to heaven, the ladder to heaven, as we're climbing toward that higher ground that we sang about a little bit ago, you know, one of the things about climbing is the higher you climb, the further it is to fall, and the more dangerous it is to stumble, to trip. We know that certainly in this area with the mountains, that some places you can fall, it can be deadly. And as we think about our Christian lives, we think about as we're striving for heaven, we're trying to reach that higher ground, along the way we have to be climbing, we have to be moving further up. And yet, in spite of our moving up, the temptation often, just like with gravity on earth, the pull is always downward. And so we have to struggle against that downward pull. There's in many ways a spiritual gravity, just like there is a physical gravity. And we have friends and family members and the troubles of work and problems in our lives and the difficulties of politics and things of that nature that are constantly dragging at us, trying to pull us off that ladder, trying to get us to fall, and we can't let go. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. "Oh, what's the use?" said number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friend, goodbye, sad world." And weeping still, he drowned. But number two of sterner stuff dog-paddled in surprise, the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. "I'll swim a while at least," he said, or so it has been said. It wouldn't really help the world if one more frog was dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and swam and swam and kicked and hopped out via butter. You know, sometimes we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes we can't tell how much further we have to go. You know, it's often been the case that, years ago, they didn't have GPS to tell you, you know, you have so and so many miles to your destination. You just had to trust that you'd get there eventually, especially back in the days even before cars had odometers on them, when people had to walk or ride a horse and they knew where they had to go, but they didn't know necessarily how far it was going to be. Sometimes we are so fixed on, we have to know how far it is and how much we have to do, and if it's too much, well, I can't do that. But God encourages us, like this little frog, to just keep kicking and swimming. And if we'll keep kicking and swimming, we'll get there. We'll find the end. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23, the Hebrews writer says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised." God promised us. If we'll hold fast to Him, He'll never let go of us. If we're not holding on to God, it's not because He let go. It's because we did. We need to live our lives in such a way that we never let go. The temptation certainly is there. The difficulties certainly is there. But what I want us to think about as we consider this, there are some reasons that we can't let go. The first that we want to notice is that we can't let go because it's too far to fall and it's too hard to climb back up again. Have you ever climbed to the top of something that was a long way up? I remember Last year, Don and I went to the tallest lighthouse in Florida, and we climbed to the top of that thing. It was hard. Being fat doesn't help. Couldn't they put an elevator in this thing? I wanted to see the view, but climbing up there, and I don't know, it was only 208 steps. And dizzy too, because it's round and round, the inside of that thing. But if we had gotten to the top of that thing and then ridden an elevator back to the bottom, you couldn't have for the life of me got me to climb back up that thing again. I was not going to climb up it a second time that day. I can remember us climbing. We tried to climb to the top of one of the 14,000 foot mountains in Colorado. We didn't quite make it. We were almost at the top. We were up into the snow cap when a storm came over the top of that mountain. When you're up above the tree line and you see lightning, you want to get down real fast. It took us 6 hours to get up there. It took us two to get back down. We got back down in a hurry. But at the bottom, you couldn't have got me to climb back up it again. You know how hard it is when you've climbed up some, you've put that effort in. And some of us in here today have been Christians for 50 or 60 years, maybe more, maybe 70 or 75 years. We've been Christians our whole lives, we might say. It'd be a long way and a lot of work to have to climb back to the point that we've reached. And the story is told, though, of the little boy who fell out of bed one night. And his mother came into the room and she said, "Son, what happened?" He was screaming, he'd hit the floor, and he was crying and hollering. And she came in, she said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I guess I didn't get far enough away from where I got in." If we've been Christians for any period of time, we need to be moving away from where we got in. If we're still staying close to where we got in, we're liable to fall out again. You know, it's one thing to fall off that first rung of the ladder. It's quite something else to fall off the top of the ladder. But however far we may have climbed in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, whether we've only been a Christian for a little while and we've only climbed a little ways, or whether we've been Christian for years and have climbed a long way up that ladder, we don't want to fall off and have to try to climb back up again. It's too far to fall, and it's too hard to climb back up again. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6 even says, "It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and are partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame." It's too hard to climb back up. So don't let go. Keep holding on. Keep hanging on. I do want to encourage you too, as we'll take a break between this point and the next, pick up the paper in the back. Of course, you want to pick up the bulletin, but next to the bulletin is our paper that has some daily Bible thoughts and prayer thoughts and some cute little stories and quotes and stats and all sorts of things that you can have throughout the week this week on this subject. If you haven't picked that up, you can pick that up on your way out later. But secondly, we can't let go because we have come too far to give up. You know, at some point you say, "You know, I've done this. Why would I give up on it? I'm accomplished so much. I don't want to lose what I've accomplished." In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17, Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, my beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As in all his epistles, speaking of these things in them, in which some things are hard to understand, and those that are unlearned and unstable twist as they do the other scriptures to their own destructions. You, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Don't fall, Peter says. We've come too far. We've learned too much. We know too much. We need to hold on to what we know. We need to beware that we don't fall from the place where we are. We need to hold on to what we know. Kind of like that blind man in John 9. He didn't know everything, but every time he learned something new, he'd hold on to that new fact that he had learned. And we need to be like him. The third reason that we can't let go is because we're almost there. Now, almost there is a relative term. The kids in the car as you're traveling, well, are we there yet? Well, almost. An hour later. Are we there yet? Almost. Almost is a relative term. How close is almost? Well, it differs depending on the circumstance. And we truly don't know exactly how far away we are. But it is true that we're getting closer if we'll keep going. And some of us are more almost there than others. We don't always know who, however. In Romans chapter 13, in verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "And that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is closer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." He says we're getting closer. Our salvation is closer than it was. It's closer than it was last Sunday when we were together. It's closer than it was yesterday. It's closer than it was this morning when we woke up. Each moment, we draw closer. Closer either to our own demise, which will be the end for us, or closer to the return of Christ, which will be the end for everyone who's remaining on the earth. But either way, each moment that passes, we're moving closer. And because we're moving closer in time, and because we're almost there, all the more reason not to let go, not to go back the other way, not to give up. I recall the event, although I don't remember the names involved. There was a woman who was a swimmer. She was actually became the first woman to swim across the English Channel. On her first attempt, however, she failed. And the reason she failed, at least one of the primary reasons that she failed, was that when she was swimming, and it's a long swim, takes several hours. I can dog paddle for a couple of minutes. That's about it. But it takes a long time to swim across those miles of ocean, even at its narrowest point. It became foggy. And when the fog descended, as she was swimming, and there, of course, was a boat next to her to help her in case of an emergency of some kind, as it became foggy, she couldn't see the shore. She couldn't see what was ahead of her. She didn't know where she was. She continued swimming on course, but finally the exhaustion became more than she could stand. She gave up and asked them to pull her into the boat. And they pulled her into the boat, and within just a couple hundred yards, they were at the shore. She was that close. But because of the fog, she couldn't see the finish line. She couldn't see. If she could have seen it, I'm sure she would have mustered up a little more strength, a little more determination to make it those last few feet. That's one of the difficulties we have in the Christian life. We can't see where the finish line is. But we do know that it's there. And God has promised us, and He is faithful, if we will just keep swimming. Kind of like the little cartoon Finding Dory, just keep swimming. If we'll just keep climbing, if we'll just keep heading toward the Lord, we will get there if we don't give up, if we don't let go. But another thing that we don't sometimes think about is that we can't let go because there are others counting on us. Sometimes we get rather myopic, rather nearsighted. We see only ourselves, we see only our struggles, only our problems, only the difficulties we're facing, and we forget there are other people watching us. I've thought about this several times in my life when various people that I had looked up to, people that I had respected, have fallen. You ever had a hero fall? Somebody that you looked up to, somebody you respected? I've known people who, maybe it was the preacher that baptized them. Maybe it was one of their elders or deacons in their congregation who left the church, and it destroyed them to have that person that they had looked up to. Maybe it was their youth minister. Maybe it was, you know, their father or mother or some other family member that they had admired and looked up to. And when that person fell away, when that person let go, it devastated them. One of the reasons we can't let go is because there are other people that are looking up to us. I know they can't get to heaven on our faith, but our faith is an encouragement to them to keep going. And if we give up, they're going to be discouraged and tempted to give up as well. We can't do that. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 32, Paul warns the Ephesian elders. He says, "I know after I depart, grievous wolves will enter in among you and not spare the flock. And of your own selves some men shall arise, speaking corrupt things and drawing disciples after themselves. Therefore watch. And remember that for 3 years I didn't cease to warn you every day and every night with tears. And now, brothers, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's a sad thing when those that we look up to, those we're following in the faith, those who are supposed to be leading us, when they stumble and fall, when they let go, what a troubling thing it is. There are others counting on us. You may be looking up to someone else, but there's always someone else looking up to you. It may be your children. It may be a brother or sister. It may be someone you taught in a Bible class. It may be your neighbor. It may be just a friend. You never know how many other people are looking up to you and how many you're influencing. We can't give up because there are others counting on us. And then finally, we want to notice that we can't give up because our enemy is waiting for us down below. You ever see those adventure movies and the hero is hanging from the rope or the bridge or the ladder that's dangling from the helicopter or whatever and the side of the building, you know, they're hanging there and they're about to fall and you know, there's whether crocodiles down in the water below, or just a long fall to their death, or just their enemy is down there lower on the ladder trying to get up there to them, or whatever it is, there's always some danger down there. That's the way those adventure movies work. They got to create the suspense and the thrill of the danger. But in reality, in our spiritual lives, the devil is described as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He wants to gobble us up. But an interesting thing about lions, they're not really good at climbing ladders. So he doesn't climb the ladder to heaven, and the further off the ground, closer to heaven, the further away from him we get. And that's a good thing, being further away from him. But we have to remember, he's still down there. You ever seen a dog that has a coon treed, or maybe a squirrel or a cat or something, and he's just barking at that tree, and he's just waiting down there at the bottom of that tree, waiting for them to come back down so he can get them. That's the way the devil is. We may be momentarily out of his reach, but he is waiting. He is ready. Just like those lions in the story of Daniel in the lion's den, God shut their mouths so that they didn't eat Daniel. But when the king realized how those evil men had tricked him, he had them and their families cast in. Do you remember what the Bible says? Before they hit the bottom, before they hit the ground, the lions crushed them, their bones, and just gobbled them up. They didn't even hit the ground. That's the way lions do, and that's the way the devil does. He's down there waiting, and he will grab us and get us as soon as we're within his reach. So we need to keep climbing. We need to not let go, because we want to stay out of his reach. In 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, Peter says, "The devil is a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren throughout the world." Everywhere around us, as James talked about that at the Lord's Supper devotion, all over the world, we're not the only ones. There are Christians throughout the world who are doing the same thing we're doing, trying to climb the ladder toward heaven, trying to get away from Satan. We're not alone. But our enemy is waiting for us. 1 Corinthians 54-58. Death can't have a victory over us if we're with Jesus. Oh yes, we will die if the Lord doesn't return first. But death won't have a victory. Jesus will give us the victory. In Colossians 2, 5-8, again, Paul encourages the Colossians to have a steadfastness of their faith. In Acts 2, 42, the early disciples, they continued steadfastly. In 2 Peter 1, 10-11, that was read as our scripture reading a while ago, Peter has just explained to us how we add what we call often the Christian virtues to our lives. And he says, if we'll do that, if we'll just add one upon the other, keep adding one upon the other, we will never fall. That's fascinating. Doesn't mean we'll never be tempted. Doesn't mean we'll never have hard times or struggles or difficulties or persecutions or anything else. Yes, we will, but we won't fall. That's a great secret that Peter lets us in on. Jude 1, 24-25. God is able to keep us from falling. We can't do it on our own. We often pray for God to help us with various things. And that's certainly something we need to pray for. Help us not to fall. He's able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless. He's able to do that. But we've got to trust Him. You ever seen, and sometimes in movies as well, you know, there'll be a case where somebody's hanging from something and the hero is there holding out a hand and, "Grab my hand! Just grab my hand!" But they don't want to let go of what they've got hold of. Sometimes we have hold of things in this world that we don't want to let go of them in order to grab hold more firmly to the Lord. There are some things we do need to let go of. The Lord is certainly not one of them. We don't need to let go of our faith. But there are things of this world that sometimes we do have to let go of. In Revelation 2:5, to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Repent, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works." They had fallen and they needed to start over again. If you're here this morning and perhaps you've never started climbing, perhaps you're not a Christian at all, you need to become one so you can start that climb toward heaven away from Satan, our enemy. Perhaps as a Christian you have fallen like the church at Ephesus had, and you need to climb again. You need to start again. Perhaps you've just felt the danger and you felt like giving up. You felt like letting go. We're here for you. Your Christian family can be here for an encouragement for you if you feel that way. Whatever struggle you may be having at this time, if you have a need to respond for any reason to God's offer of an invitation, please come as we stand and sing.